Seated, and do take up a Bible and turn back to that passage we had read for us, Romans chapter 12, verses 4-8, as we continue our series in the book of Romans, and particularly chapter 12, and we're going to go on in time to the end of the book. But let's just pray, shall we, as we come to God's word together. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you so much for your great love towards us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you that not only have you given us faith in him, but you have united us to him, to his life. Thank you that that means that we're secure in your grace. Thank you that that means that if we've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a wonderful inheritance, a future hope of glory. Lord, please strengthen in our minds and hearts these truths this morning, we pray, so that we might live more wholeheartedly for your Son. Amen. Well, as many of you know, I've been away for a couple of weeks to have treatment for my back condition, and it's gone very, very well. So thank you for all those who've supported me being away from the parish. The last time I went on this course was about 8 years ago, and I have sort of hydrotherapy and physiotherapy and stretches and all that kind of thing. And so I can now again touch my toes. And I'm happy. I won't demonstrate it in the pulpit, but if you want me to demonstrate it later on, I'm very happy to. And so it's perhaps appropriate this morning that when the church, that's the picture that is of what it means to be church together. Apostle Paul. And he likens Christian here this morning a part, a member of Christ. And his take home meant, we're all needed in Christ's body. Look back with me to the beginning above, just so that we know where we've come and where we're going. We've seen, haven't we, how has been teaching them the right response to God's news. The love that he has for people who trust in Jesus is that we offer him our bodies, living sacrifices 24/7. That's what true worship is. It's not just what we do here on a Sunday morning, it's what we do with our bodies 24/7. And it's also are to grow in our understanding of, we see that in verse 2, we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And then we will approve what God wants us to do. And part of the way formed is the way in which we think about ourselves, not more highly than we ought, but in line with the gospel. We know that we're all sinful people, don't we? And that we're only Christ and what Jesus has done. And then he gets to verse 4. And there's a link between verse 3 and 4. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think with sober judgment. The measure of faith God has given you, as we saw last week, that's to do with the gospel. The measure of faith each and every Christian. But then there's a little word at the beginning of verse 4, as the ESV puts. One of the reasons why we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought is we're part of each with different gifts. Now, maybe we're investigating the Christian faith here this morning, and we've heard the wonderful good news. God can make people right himself through Jesus. And that's really, really good news. But we worry about being part of the church or people, and this is an anxiety that people have. Well, you know, people in church, they and I'm not like that. No, we're all people. We can't become part of the church in the same way. It's by God. Jesus Christ, because of Jesus Christ. It's nothing in and of ourselves that makes us part of a church. It's all by God's generosity to us, Lord Jesus. So if you're just investigating Christian things and you're worried about being part of this church, please don't worry, because it's all to the church. It's not about in a particular way or behaving in a particular way or liking particular kinds of music, or it's about being joined to Jesus Christ by God. And that's what all Christians have. Look at that in verse 5. So in Christ, we who are many, one body. A Christian is someone who is joined to Jesus. We are in Christ. We are part of God's family. But let's see what this means. I guess the majority of us here would call ourselves Christians. What does it mean to be part of the body of Christ here at Fordham? Well, the first thing I hope we will take away with us from this message is this point. In Christ, Christians are one body. Christ, Christians are one body. Verse 4 again. For just as one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. In Christ, we who are many form one body. Each member, each of us belongs to all the others. This morning, we are members of Christ's body. We are joined to Jesus, God the Son, fully. Let's just flesh this out a little bit. Well, the first thing is it means we're not passive consumers. We don't come to church what we like we might ping and buy what we like, or we might gauge we like, or a restaurant that we like. That's not what it is like. Paul says each of us has one body. We do not all have the same function. Literally, practice. We don't all do the same thing, but we all do things. That's what it means to be part of a body. Your hand might be a bit more active than your nose, but they've both got a function. They're both things. That's what it means to be part of the body. We're to be active. It's not possible to point to Jesus Christ and not want to things for him, to think for him, to offer our bodies for him. It's what his life starts to do in us. So every member of the body has something to practice. And so just some questions for us to think about today. Are we coming to church more as a passive consumer? Or are we coming to a wonderful part of being part of Ford? There's so many people involved in different things. But is the mindset that we're continuing in? I'm coming to church. What I can do as part of this on a Sunday, but 24/7 throughout the week. See, we are part of the body, yes, to benefit from, but also to benefit the body. We're a part. We're active. That's why our joy of our body has something. And don't know if like me, when just one little part of the body is not working properly, the whole body feels it, doesn't it? When the spine is all stiff, and my whole body feels it. Any ailments that you've got at the moment, just one small thing, it could be just the tiniest cornea that gets a little scratch on it, your whole body is affected just because one part of the body is functioning as it ought. So when humans, but secondly, we are not all the same. These members do not all have the same function. And we'll know that Paul develops his teaching with a certain degree of humor in 1 Corinthians 12-14. We cannot say to ourselves, well, because I'm not an eye, I'll stop being an ear. Or because I'm not a foot, I'll stop being a hand. The whole body is not an eye or an ear. The whole body has each part, just as God did it, to function. Unity, we're all different. You realize that. But that's by God. So God's plan is to arrange different members, the parts of the body, so that they work in harmony and unity. Look at our differences and think, oh, well, I'm not like them, so I can't be involved. I'm not him, so I can't be involved. Front, so I can't do anything. God has arranged all the parts. Not all the same. That is something we're to celebrate. So men and women, elderly and English and Polish and Nigerian and even white Anglo-Saxon young men. We're all in the body of Christ. God's design. We're not to look around and think everybody's different. No. We have been made one already because we are joined to Jesus Christ. And so we should celebrate our differences in musical taste, our differences in what culture we like, what wealth we have, what education we have, what person we have. Are we different for him? No. Different because we're all joined in the body of Christ, which shows God's power in welcoming all kinds of people and making them one. See, these members do not all have the same function, gifted in the same way. In Christ, we who are many and diverse form one body. And so it's in Christ, it's the Christ that gives us unity. It's the will of Christ, that he's the head. We are members of his body, so our differences are to be joined together under his one bond to love each other. Which we'll go on to in a few weeks' time. Paul goes next, if you look at verse 9. Sincere love, which ever. So in Christ, we are one body. And that means we're already back 2, verses 4 and 5. So in we who are many, one body, and it belongs to all the others. See, there's only one reason why we enjoy such unity here at Fordham Church. It is something we need to guard, isn't it? There's only one, and that's because of one person, Jesus Christ. It's in Christ that we are united. It's in Christ that the difference in terms of personality or wealth and edging or views, whatever, it's in Christ. We are one. One Holy Spirit dwelling within us. We know one Heavenly Father. We have one Jesus Christ. And that is so important. It speaks to the world of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's that important. There's a beauty to you. I don't know if you enjoy watching fully functioning, doing things of beauty like, I don't know, rugby over the last few days. The power, the lithe grace of Jonathan Joseph or whoever it would have been. Or maybe it's this remarkable, artistic, expressive thing in coordinated, functioning, united is to be like, because it speaks of the one God, the infinitely beautiful in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to the cross to join us to him. So Christians are one body. What might this mean for us? I don't know. Now, hearing all, maybe we think that we've got nothing, the church here at Fordham. That cannot be true. If we're a Christian, united to Jesus Christ, we don't all have the same function, we are all needed. You are here because Christ is part of this body. Maybe what we ought to be doing as part of church life here, but we lack the confidence to do it. We might think, well, I can't do such and such and such. Do you know what your function is here? Gifting is? To serve the body of Christ here. There's nothing for you to do. That's to believe that you're not part of Christ. And you're joined to his body with a function that he has given. Maybe we're not that good at allowing others to step into roles that we can no longer do so well. Maybe like me, you end up trying to do too much. That your gifting is bigger than it actually allow others to get on board and to fulfill roles that you're struggling to, because to be quite honest, there's 10 things doing, and if you could try, that would be really helpful, and that would allow other people roles in church life. And maybe I can speak from the heart. The pressure of my role is increasing. Challenges within the Church of England are going up. And I just want to say, I really need all of you. I need you to be involved in whatever way you can. And there's lots and lots of different ways we can be involved. Do this. That is of standing for the truth of the gospel of Chelmsford over the last couple of weeks have gone up 100%. Involved in meeting and challenging Bishop as their statements on gay marriage. Lots of meetings for me. Lots of writing. Lots of emails. Lots of talks. But I'm committed to that. But I need you. Please, would you, if you're thinking and suggesting application, if you feel, well, I'd love to get involved. I need you to get involved in that area of church life. It may be costly for us in all kinds. Have God's grace to be part of God's family, the church, Christ. But we're all different. And that's where Paul goes next to 8. So we've just had, in Christ, Christians are one body. We're all different. Christians have grace to be used. We have all been given gifts. The victors, verse 6, different to the grace given. Just have a look at that phrase. Different gifts, there's that diversity. To the grace given us. This is something being given. We're not so this grace. Part of the body, which is the Church of West, we have already to serve the body of Christ. It's not just for the sort of elite Christians. We might have been a Christian for one day. We have grace to be part of the body of Christ. We already have what we need to fulfill our function in the one body. Now, I can't claim to be any good. I know that there's folk here who are much better at sailing. I hope this is used in sailing. Or I'm sure it gets it from sailing, or, you know, sailing of big ships of the past. I'm far more like canoe on a river rather than sailing boat. But a metaphor that I'm sailing is this. It's all hands all hands. And that's really the main aim of what Paul is saying in this section. He's saying, look, if we're Christians, we're part of the body of Christ, we've all got gifts to use, so get on and use them, whatever they might be. Now let's just go through. Negative lists of gifts, we know that from other lists of gifts in the New Testament, Paul is not covering all the gifts that there are in the church, but he's saying, look, if this is your gift, well, do it this way. So, have a look with me, verse 6. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. Paul is saying here that the person who prophesies should do in agreement with the faith, the analogy of faith, the gospel that he's already outlined. So if we want to be bringing God's voice to people, the word of God, it be with the gospel that Paul has already outlined. And then he goes on to say, if it is serving, let him serve. All Christians are master, aren't we? We're all serving in the body of Christ. But there is this particular gift of serving in the church, and we're to encourage it. Yes, some of us just cannot serve much. That's fine. We have demanding jobs. Demanding is far more important than we're serving Christ context. But for others of us, we have lots of time. Well, we can serve more. And we should encourage them. Want to give more time in serving. Or maybe it's encouragement. If it is encouraging, encourage. And again, this is not to say that we're not all to be encouragers. We're to be those who encourage one another, aren't we? Maybe you're sitting here this morning, been here over the last few weeks, and you're really concerned for somebody in the life of the congregation. You're going through a really tough time. And you're thinking, well, why is no one encouraging them? Why is no one getting alongside them? Maybe taking them out for a meal or visiting them? Well, maybe you're being encouraged to encourage. Maybe the Holy Spirit is allowing you to see some body of Christ and you need to get alongside that person to encourage them. If only me or Viv or the staff team are the, quote, encouragers, then we're going to be quite discouraged as a congregation because I can't get round to everybody. Viv, we're to be those who spot encouragement. And maybe you've got to give encouragement, writing a letter, picking up the phone and phoning somebody just to pray with them over the phone. I'm encouraged by that. We're to be those who encouragement amongst us as the body of Christ. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him generously, when there is a financial need that is made known, if we have a gift of financial generosity, we're to give generously. If it is, let him govern diligently. Can you see what Paul is overall saying? He's saying, get on and use it. If this is your gift, get on and use it. Whatever your, do you know what your gift is? Are you using it? And if it's leadership, well, literally it reads, the one who leads with zeal. Leaders are to be zealous, passionate. The same word is used, verse 12. In other words, half-heartedship is in terms where we're leading. We might be leading as a husband. We might be leading in All Saints Club. We might be leading in the youth work. We might be leading on the refreshments. We might, wherever leading, what matters, says Paul, is to be half-hearted, to be fully committed. We're not leading. It might mean that we roll up a curtain that shows that we're fully committed in whatever area that we're leading. It might mean that we're doing the work behind the scenes when nobody sees, planning and organising. However we're leading, it's to be zealous. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So the overwhelming point that Paul is making is for all who are joined to Jesus Christ actively in exercising the grace gifts that we have already been given, Christian, city of the body of Christ, Fordham. It's all hands on deck. All hands on deck. Now this is ourselves over and feel guilt that we want to get more involved, but we can't. But it is to recognise that there is never in the life of the church a time when it's all plain sailing. That if we have that in mind, that there's been a time of this church or time in the life of any church where it's all just that it needs is somebody on the tiller just to sort of tweak it every now and again, and we're just gliding without. No, that's not gives here. It's a fully functions on deck. Everybody involved, every member, we might call it. And I think in times when this church and churches be faithful to the Bible increasingly be in choppy waters. And so now more than ever, we need all hands on deck. John Owen, image church. He spoke of himself as a rope in the boat of the church. We're secure, we're safe in Christ. We know where we're headed. He's the one who keeps us safe. Body means it's all hands on deck for the one body of Christ. Pray, shall we, as we consider these things ourselves and us as a church. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much. Join us to your Son, Jesus Christ, by faith. Thank you that in him we are united. And that in him we've been given great gifts to serve the unity and strength of the church here. As each personally we pray. So all pull in the same direction. Help us to use all the gifts given us for the body of your Son, the body of Christ. And please lead each of us, we for your glory and the saving souls, for Christ's sake.